This is the story of Reb Simcha. One time, a long time ago, in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there lived a very poor Yid and his wife and his family, and the Yid's name was Reb Simcha. Reb Simcha could not make a living. He could not pay his bills. He did not have enough money. He tried this and he tried that. Nothing was working out. Finally, he got an idea. At the end of a field in his town was a broken down building, a churban. For 10 years, nobody ever lived there. It was empty. 10 years before, it used to be like a little hotel, a little kretschme, it's called. People go over there to get something to eat and drink and to sleep overnight. But it was so out of the way, way at the end of the field, and there was no road except a little windy road that goes over there. So, you know, people never usually went over there. Either they didn't see it over there if they're traveling because it's way far away from the main road, or there were other hotels that were easier to get to or nicer. And so it went out of business, and the people left it. Nobody else wanted it. Nobody took care of the house because it was broken down anyway. Even when they left it 10 years ago, it was starting to break down. And over the years, it broke more and more until it was just a broken down house. But it still had a few walls and part of the ceiling. So Reb Simcha got the idea that he and his family should move into this churban. Then they wouldn't have to pay for their house because they didn't have the money. So he went to the Paritz, who owned that area of land there. He went to his castle. And he asked the Paritz, could I please move into that broken down hotel at the way end of the field, and I will take care of it and make a new hotel over there. Now the Paritz got excited because, you know, after all, he wasn't making any money at all from that building. And whatever Reb Simcha could pay, whatever he could come up with, would just be extra money for the Paritz, because he wasn't getting a thing. So the Paritz said, okay, sounds like a good idea. But Reb Simcha said, but the thing is, I don't have any money at all to fix it up, or to get food or drinks or anything there to be a hotel. So maybe you could lend me some money, and I will at least put a few things over there to make it a hotel, because right now it's completely broken. And when people start coming there, so I'll pay you back the loan. And the Paritz said, all right. Reb Simcha and his family moved into the broken down hotel. And they fixed up the walls, and they fixed up the ceiling, and they cleaned it out so it wasn't such a broken down churban. And they got a little bit of food, and they got a little bit of drink over there, and they waited for people to come to their hotel. They put a sign on the road, but kinalach, hardly anybody came. Because sometimes they started going to the hotel, and the road was just a broken road. They couldn't find the hotel, they turned back, and they went to someplace else. Once in a while a person came. And the way it went, the Pashtut didn't have too much mazel. Until one day, all of a sudden, a wagon pulls up in front of the little hotel. And who comes out of the wagon? The Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov came to Reb Simcha's little hotel. Reb Simcha looked out, and he saw, this is the Baal Shem Tov. Oy vey, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. The Baal Shem Tov is coming to my hotel. And he ran to his wife. Do we have any food to fix for the Baal Shem Tov, to fix him a meal? Such an important guest we have. She ran into the kitchen. There's a little bit of bread over there, maybe a little piece of tomato, a little bit of onion, maybe a little piece of fishy. She put together something. And the Baal Shem Tov came in. And they fixed him the meal. They served it to him. The Baal Shem Tov said, Reb Simcha, I've heard about you and your hotel, and I wanted to come to visit you. And I'm so glad you prepared me this meal. But I can't eat right now because something is bothering me. I lost a very small little silver box that I keep in my pocket. Now in those days, and even in these days, there's a little powder called snuff. And it smells very good. I think it's also called smelling tobacco. And some people, they take a pinch of it and they smell it. And, you know, it's a nice thing to smell. Some people like to do that. And the Baal Shem Tov also had this little box, a little silver box called a snuff box. Now, the Baal Shem Tov says, it seems to have fallen out of my pocket. And I like it very much. It probably went somewhere, you know, it fell out somewhere in the forest on the road because I was riding in my wagon coming through the forest on the road. Do you mind going to look for it for me, please? Now, it was getting dark outside. So the Baal Shem Tov asked Reb Simcha to go and look, to go and look for this little silver box that fell out in the forest. Reb Simcha is not going to say no. It's the Baal Shem Tov asking him to do something. He takes a candle, a big candle, and he goes out in the forest as it's getting dark. Now, a forest is a big place with trees, with bushes, with big leaves, with all kinds of things, and a little silver box. How is he going to find it? And how is he going to go back to the Baal Shem Tov and tell him, I couldn't find your silver box after you asked me to go look for it? And he goes looking, and he goes looking down the road and off the road, behind trees, under bushes. And he's looking into the night. All of a sudden, he hears crying and screaming from far away. Help! What is that voice? Somebody's in trouble. He runs down the road, and he sees there's a wagon that turned over into the mud. Somebody must have fallen out of the wagon, and he was under the wagon in the mud, covered with mud. And he's screaming for help, and nobody was there. Nobody was there to help. Of course, Reb Simcha goes over there, and with all of his strength, he pushes the wagon over, and he schleps the man out of the mud. And he can just see with the candle that this man is completely covered with mud from head to toe. And also it's very, very cold. The mud was very, very cold. And the man is shaking and shivering and crying. And he says to the man, come with me to my house. I'll help you. You can't be outside. You can't stay here. Come with me. And he brings the man into his house. And he helps clean him off. And he helps get him some clean clothes and blankets. And he fixes him a hot tea. And it was very interesting that the Baal Shem Tov had not even touched his food yet. He said he was just waiting for that little silver box. Now the Baal Shem Tov seemed to have forgot about the little silver box because this man came in covered with mud. And the Baal Shem Tov brought his food over to the man and he says, please eat my meal. He says, please eat this meal. And warm up, have some food. They gave him the hot tea. And as the man felt better, and they started talking to the man, all of a sudden they saw that this is not any ordinary person. It happened to be a goy. But this happened to be the prince of that country. You know what a prince is? A prince is the son of the king. The king's own son was traveling in his royal wagon. He was out for a ride, and he got stuck on this road, and the wagon fell over, and he almost died, and Reb Simcha saved him. And this happened to be the prince of the country. And the prince was so thankful to Reb Simcha that he saved his life. And he says, Reb Simcha, I want to reward you for what you did. You saved my life. And he pulled out a purse, like a bag of money that he had with him that he'd taken, that was also covered with mud. But inside, there were many, many golden coins. And he said, Reb Simcha, I want to give you a small thank you for what you did. And he took out 2,000 golden rubles. Which, of course, is a lot of money. Not only a lot of money, but Reb Simcha never even dreamed of so much money. And his mouth was just open, and his eyes were just, so wide looking at that money. And all of a sudden, the Baal Shem Tov was sitting at the table behind the prince, behind the prince's back. And Reb Simcha was in front of the prince. Reb Simcha sees the Baal Shem Tov is shaking his head like this, no, back and forth, no. Not saying anything, but showing that Reb Simcha should not accept the money. Reb Simcha says to the prince, I'm sorry, I don't want to accept the reward. After all, I was just doing what a person should do to help another person. I helped you, but, I don't want to receive a reward for that. That's just, something that I should do. It's nothing extra. So please, just put your purse away. And the prince looked at Reb Simcha, and then he looked around at the house. That was all falling down. The windows were broken. There were shmatas stuck in the window to keep the wind out. There were shmatas stuck in the window to keep the wind out. The kids were going around in torn clothes. The tables were broken. The floor was broken. And then he says to Reb Simcha, oh, I see. I'm offering you such a small sum of money for such a big thing that you did. And I see that you really need the money. And he took back out his purse, and he took out 10,000 golden rubles. He says, Reb Simcha, maybe, this is more of what I should offer to you, not just 2,000. Take 10,000 golden rubles, and that is a more fitting amount that you should accept. Please, take it. I offered you too little before. I'm sorry I insulted you. And in front of Reb Simcha, he has 10,000 golden rubles. And the Baal Shem Tov, you see in the back, is shaking his head, no. And the prince said, not 10,000? I tell you, I don't have it now, but I can easily bring by tomorrow 50,000. Please accept it. And as you can see, the Baal Shem Tov said, no. And he even went higher than that. And the Baal Shem Tov each time said no. Until the prince saw that Reb Simcha is not accepting anything, and he put away the money, and he said, you know what? I see that you're such a good man and you don't want to accept anything, but at least I'm going to write you down in my special book that I write down all kinds of special things. Some people keep a book, especially kings and princes, that people that do them favors, they write it down in a book to remember them. That sometime maybe in the future, they'll do something good back for them. So the prince wrote down the name Reb Simcha in his special book. And he put it away. And after that, the next day, as he was feeling better, he left back to the palace. He said goodbye. And then the Baal Shem Tov got ready to leave. And Reb Simcha got the last few pennies that he had for, it's called a pidyon, to give some money for the Baal Shem Tov for tzedakah, that to a tzaddik, you give a tzedel, and you put your name, it's called a pidyon, that the tzaddik should daven for you. And you also give some money with that, which is a big schus to give a tzaddik money, that the tzaddik should use the money to do halakha things with it. And the Baal Shem Tov said goodbye to Reb Simcha, and now the Baal Shem Tov also left. course, after they left, there's no money in the house. There's no food in the house. And Reb Simcha's wife looks at the house and looks at the kids, looks around. She said, after all, you saved the prince's life. We couldn't accept the money. We would have food, we would have clothes for the kids. And Reb Simcha said, you saw the Baal Shem Tov said no. So this was not something we should do. Hashem will help. Don't worry. If it wasn't Hashem's ratzon that we should accept that money, so some other way will be helped. Don't worry. But to take that money, when the Baal Shem Tov is saying no, would be the wrong thing to do. Even though it looks so good. By following the tzaddik, what the tzaddik says, in the end, everything will turn out fine. In Kinelach, Reb Simcha and his wife and the kids were preparing to go to sleep without supper that night. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, a big bang on the door. Yes! And there's some goy outside. He says, I want something to drink. I heard there's a hotel over here that serves drinks. I want something to drink. Let me in. They open the door. The goy sat down at the table. And he says, give me some whiskey. Give me some mashke. Reb Simcha goes over to the mashke in a barrel. And he shook the barrel and he sees that it's empty. There's nothing in there. He says, oy vey. If I don't give him anything, he'll get upset. Who knows what he'll do? And there's nothing to give him. He took some water. He dumped it into the barrel. He swished it around. It should mix together with whatever drops of mashke are still left in there. And there's some flavor in the wood. Shook it around. And he put it into a cup. And he served it to the goy. And the goy drinks it down. Oh, delicious. The best whiskey I ever had. Give me some more. Don't worry, I'll pay you for it. And he takes some more water and he swishes it around in the barrel and he gives it to the goy. Oh, it's so good. Delicious. And they served the goy a few drinks in the same way. And the goy took out money and he put it on the table. And he said, I'm telling my friends about this place. They'll love it. And I'm sure that you're going to have plenty of people here because I'm going to tell all my friends about how good the whiskey is over here. Make sure you have plenty for my friends and I. We'll come even in the morning. We'll come for breakfast. Walking along in the morning, a whole group of goyim came in for a drink. That was the minhag in that area, that before they go to work on the farms, they go and have a cup of whiskey, a cup of schnapps. And by that time, they still didn't have any time to go out and buy anything or to get any more schnapps, so they just put more water in the barrel. And the goyim sat down to drink. Oh, this is great! Oh, it's delicious! Whatever was coming out of that barrel must have been delicious whiskey. Even though it was just water that went in, whiskey came out. And they were drinking, and they were paying the money. And by lunchtime, they came to get more, and they brought more of their friends, and there was a big line outside. And by that time, Reb Simcha's wife had time to do a little shopping to get a few potatoes and a few onions and some bread, and she served some food, and there was big lines of more people coming around supper time, and they were clinking the money down on the tables. And strangely enough, whenever they turned on that barrel, whiskey came out, or whatever it was that came out, they loved it, they drank it. And little bit by little bit, day after day, they had more and more business. They were able to fix the walls one by one, and get some windows, and buy some chairs and tables, and fix the rooms that the beds used to be in 10 years ago by the hotel, and they had people sleeping over, and paying like a hotel. And they fixed the fireplace and made a fire to keep it warm. And they fixed the floor and put a carpet down. And they were able to buy their kiddies shoes and clothes. And little bit by little bit, They fixed up the hotel. Shh, the story's not over. It's just starting. Until Baruch Hashem, they even fixed the road that people were able to come over there, even though not so many people still came from the road. But, you know, by word of mouth, these goyim brought their friends over there. So they had plenty of business. And things were going better and better. Until one night, a very terrible thing happened. You know? Like we learned, the wheel goes around and around, you know? You go to the top, but then after the top, it can go to the bottom. Gets to the bottom, it can go to the top. Sometimes things are good, sometimes not. That's the way life is. Shh. But of course, as we know, everything is, as in this story, even when it goes down, okay, even when things look like they're not good, so really, they are good. Everything is from Hashem good. It's only the way it looks. When a Yid is keeping Torah mitzvahs and following Hashem, whatever happens, he has to know is for the best. Now listen. Shh. One night, two goyim came into the hotel. And one was carrying a big suitcase. And the other was carrying a regular suitcase. The big suitcase must have been very heavy. Every time he set it down, it clunked and clunked. Sounded like there was gold in there, golden coins. And the other one just had a regular suitcase. It didn't clunk and it didn't make any noise. It must have been not so much whatever. It must have been not so much of anything in there. And the two goyim said, "Give us a room. We're very tired. But make sure the room is safe. Because we have to put our suitcases in the room. And, you know, especially this suitcase. I don't want to say what's inside, but this suitcase I have to keep very, very safe. Make sure we have a very safe room." "Oh, don't worry," Reb Simcha says. The hotel is safe. No problem. Nobody's going to bother you and your suitcases. Would you like help with that?" "Oh, no, 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 no. Don't touch this big suitcase." All right? The two goyim go to the room, and they go to sleep, or they thought they went to sleep. I mean, everybody thought they went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, Reb Simcha woke up, and he hears screaming and fighting and noise. "Oh, it sounds like there's a fight. It sounds like there's a big argument." And he goes out of his room and he listens, and it's coming from the room of the two goyim with a big suitcase and with the regular suitcase. From their room. And all of a sudden, one of the goyim runs out of the room. This was the goy that was carrying the little suitcase. And he says, "Somebody killed my friend! Somebody killed my friend! And they took his suitcase of money! They took his suitcase of money! Somebody killed my friend!" And all of a sudden he points to Reb Simcha. "It was you! I saw that you did it! You knew that he had money in his suitcase, and you came in the middle of the night, and you killed him! Give back the money!" Reb Simcha was just standing there. He didn't know what happened. Now, by this time, other people that were in other rooms woke up, and they came out in their pajamas to see what the screaming is. And this goy is pointing at Reb Simcha. "Look inside of my room, and my friend, he got killed, and somebody took his money, a big suitcase. And I just woke up, and I saw this Jew. He did it. The hotel owner did it, because he wanted to get the money for himself." Reb Simcha didn't do a thing. But all these people are standing there, looking at him. He says, "Call the police! Call the police!" Somebody runs out. They run to the town. They get to the police. They bring the chief of police and the other police in. And this guy is still screaming. Now in those days, as we know, the police did not like the Jews. And if a guy said something against the Jew, the police were very likely to believe the goy and not believe the Jew, no matter what he said. And nobody said, nobody saw anything. It was just the word of this goy who said he saw Reb Simcha do it. And they took Reb Simcha away from the hotel and they put him in the jail. They put him in the jail. Who killed him? Well, the next morning, his friend, who had a little suitcase, so he had killed his friend. He had killed the man with the big suitcase. He had taken all the money. He hid it in his clothes and in his coat and in his boots. And he took off with it and finished. Yeah, he's a big ganev and he was a liar. He stole everything and he killed his friend and he blamed it on Reb Simcha. And he left. And now, Reb Simcha now was in jail. Now, many months later, this happened. What I told you, that these two goyim checked into the hotel. This is after they built up the hotel and business was good. This was many months later. Or it might even have been a few years later. This happened. And now Reb Simcha is in jail. They brought him out of the jail to the judge, to the trial. During the trial, the judge heard what happened, that a man was killed, and the people said in the hotel, especially the one man, that Reb Simcha did it, and the judge said, Reb Simcha has to hang until he dies. He has to be hanged on a tree with a rope. And put him back in the jail until we take him out to hang him. And they put him back in the jail, and they made a certain day that Reb Simcha has to be hanged. Kinalach, at first Reb Simcha was very sad. And he cried. And he says, why is this happening to me? But then all of a sudden he said to himself, wait a minute. Is this really going to happen to me? Is Hashem going to really let me die for something that I didn't do? Is this what Hashem is going to do? Am I going to be just sad and say, this is going to have to happen to me? Kinalach, even if the judge said, and even if the witnesses said, and even if everything seems impossible, is anything impossible for Hashem to do to help? Is a yid ever stuck in a situation that can't change? Or can Hashem always help? Instead of being sad, Reb Simcha started saying Tehillim, and he started davening, and he started feeling, Tracht good, vet zayin good, Hashem is going to help. Shh. And finally, finally, a few hours later, he heard a key in the lock, and the guard of the jail came in, and Reb Simcha thought that he's going to say, now it's time to go to hang. And the guard said, Reb Simcha, you are called back to the judge. The judge is going to say something to you, very important. Oh, instead of going to be hanged on the tree, I'm going back to the judge. Who knows what's going to happen now? I think Hashem, hopefully, is going to help. They took Reb Simcha back to the judge. The judge took his hammer and clapped it on the table. And he said, Reb Simcha, I have a paper to read you from the king. What? The judge says, every case of a person that is going to be hanged has to first be signed by the king. Whenever a judge decides a person has to be hanged, in that country, the law was that the king has to first sign it. If the king signs it, they hang the person. But the king has to see all of these very important cases of these big punishments. And they took Reb Simcha's case to the king to be signed. Now, Kinalach, over the months or over the years, however much time had gone since Reb Simcha had his hotel. Do you know who had become the king? The prince that Reb Simcha pulled out of the mud. Remember that Reb Simcha pulled the prince out of the mud? A prince means that he's the son of the king. And this prince had become the new king because the king had passed away and his son, the prince, had become the king. So he was the one that had to sign the paper that Reb Simcha should be hanged. When they brought the paper to the king, and the king saw the name Reb Simcha, he all of a sudden remembered, hey, in my book of special things that happen, I have the name Reb Simcha. And sure enough, he looked it up, and he saw this is the same Reb Simcha with the same hotel in the same place. And the judge had said, Reb Simcha, who was a hotel owner, who had a nice hotel and who made a nice living from his hotel, he killed this person in order to get his gold, in order to have more money. And this is what the court had decided according to the witnesses telling on Reb Simcha. And the king said to himself, wait a minute. When he was a very poor man and the hotel was all broken and he needed the money just for food and for clothes for his kids, he would not take anything. Remember? The prince wanted to give him a lot of money. Reb Simcha would not accept the thing, even when he needed it. So the king says, and now that he has plenty of money, and he doesn't need money, he's going to kill somebody just to get more money? Something is fishy over here. Something doesn't make sense.